have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Sampadaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gaudini Pratipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita virahaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is a teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, Thy compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. Thy compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. Thy compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma. And I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sava. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity. And the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
You are welcome to come down to this side of the room. And just a reminder that Sunday morning groups are recorded and made available for monthly donors. So what shall we look at this morning?
Things that I've been looking at in the last few days, and they seem related, but I'm not seeing how yet, so I want to kind of hear how it sounds. So one is around, I had written some days ago, I wrote an article, practice related, and the process was so interesting, because normally the way it happens is something will drop in, I'll see it, and then I'll write it. And so I'm looking to what I think is, you know, the field of awareness, to life, to drop something in and I'll write it. And that process was sort of happening. But then what happened was that something dropped in, I wrote it, that I didn't even know.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it was like it bypassed the mechanism that recognizes, okay.
Uh-huh.
And it just got written.
Uh-huh. Okay, so a practice-related article you're writing, and there's a familiar process where what seems like is going on is you're looking to the field of awareness, and something drops in. You're aware that something recognizes that.
Uh-huh.
It's dropped in, and then you write it.
Uh-huh.
But this time, that mechanism wasn't there. It just kind of was one motion,
uh-huh,
it seems, coming through to the fingers typing.
Yeah. Well, for about two-thirds of the thing, it was the familiar process, and then the last part, it was the unfamiliar process. And
uh-huh.
It was like, And interesting, looking at it later, it was like, I don't do that.
That's not me. What?
Exactly. It was like, and so, because it was sort of in the lines of, here are my favorite practice opportunities, one, that, and, or practice experiences or whatever. And the third one was like, I never do that.
And who's that?
Exactly.
Who said that?
Yeah. Exactly. And of course, then what was there was, well, you're lying if you put that on there, because you're not doing it. Well, of course, now that I've done it, since I wrote it, I've done it every time, you know. But it was so there was that voice calling me a liar.
Yeah.
And then
the you voice calling you a liar.
Uh-huh. And then the person who's now for sure going to do that practice, so I wouldn't be lying, because
uh-huh,
there's a relationship to that.
Don't want to be accused of anything. Uh-huh. Like,
well, I just don't want that to be right. I don't want it to be true. But then the question was, so if I don't do that particular exercise, who knew about it? Who does?
Uh-huh.
You know, and the I that says I never do that, I'm sure that one doesn't do that. But
right.
That doesn't mean that I've never done it.
Right. Yeah, so there's a voice that says, well, I don't do that.
Uh-huh.
Well, and we know the I voice doesn't do that. But a sense of, that doesn't mean what we call Rebecca isn't doing that.
Or hasn't. And that this identity wouldn't even have that in her field of experience because she's never. But, you know, and so it's just, it was just all such an interesting process of that mechanism that needs to recognize something, take it before it can be delivered, being not there. Like that veil that Rumi talks about was not there. And it just flowed through. And I've never been considered myself an artist, but I went right to that's what artists must be doing the whole time.
Completely getting out of the way.
Hopefully, there
isn't that filter or that veil. And then there's a scramble afterwards, that kind of trying to, who is it? And the identity only sees whatever the identity, I mean, they have a pretty narrow version of things, so they wouldn't recognize that.
And it speaks to the lack of control that we talk about in group all the time, you know. And so the second example of something like this happening was around, so for about over a year now, there's been this situation going on with my son that is, without any suffering on top of it, could be really a painful thing.
For you.
And then if you were to add suffering on it, it would just be misery, right? But I've noticed that I haven't felt a lot of pain. And there's been I've recorded about it a lot over quite a bit, saying, I just want to report that I realize I'm not recording about that situation. I'm not recording about that because I just can't go there. So there was felt like it was something that was keeping it at bay. And then the mentor would say, okay, if you could go there, what would you say? You know, and then
a little bit
would come out, you know, but then there would be that's all. And over time, it's like, again, there was a mechanism in place that was stopping. Can't really go there. And have the aperture really open because it could be really painful and who knows what would come out and, you know, all of that. And so last night when
it's interesting. There's a mechanism of I can't go there and that would be really painful. Yet there's somebody on the recorder saying, I just want you to know I can't go there.
Really, it's like I dip my toe in the pool and then I kind of scurry back. And then maybe I would, you know, be encouraged, okay, well, why don't you just put your whole foot in and see what it's like, you know, and then come back. And there was nothing wrong with that. There was no pushing. It was nothing.
Just dipping the toe in, coming back. And it's just a perfect process. It reminds me of what Sherry was talking about with karma, about how we sit with it. I don't want to talk about it, but I kind of do want to talk about it.
Yes.
And that patience, I imagine that's going on, just as being described. In another group. You know, it's fine to dip the toe in and come back. And dip the toe. You know, that's just that.
Resolved whenever it's resolved.
It'll be resolved whenever it's resolved, and there's just that being with.
Yes.
And I mean, you can feel the presence, the attention on this whole. I mean, you're just describing it in detail.
The love and the patience and the utter, there is nothing wrong.
There is nothing wrong. And you were mentioning before, there's no control.
So last night when I was recording about, you know, doing my nightly two-handed recording exercise, that came up and the pain was touched. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, there was an opening. And it was there. And it could come out.
And it could
just
come out.
Just for a little while, you know. Mm-hmm. Just for a few seconds. But it was there. And
it sounds like it was there and it was met by presence.
Yeah, that's what, see, that,
Or maybe there was presence and that's what allowed it to be there.
I think so. But then that's what I want to look at. And that's why it feels like the other situation where, because what's coming in is the same voice that was calling me, you're a liar if you say that. It's like, you're not really, it was an accusing sort of, but not so overtly that I got it. So that's why, but it felt a bit like there was something wrong. Mm-hmm. And that met that pain. Uh-huh. That reacted immediately to that pain.
So the pain came up, and in a sense, there's nothing wrong with that until it meets something that says there's something wrong with that.
It seems so self-evident now. When you reflect that, but at the time,
am I accurately reflecting, or I just want to make sure?
No, I think so. It just felt a lot murkier in that moment.
Of course, Well, that's why. Just as you started it out, I want to get this out loud so I can see it. That's what we're doing.
Because this familiar karma of you're wrong, you're all these acute accusations, like I'm on trial, have been there this morning, and we're there just a little bit last night before I went to sleep, and then have been there this morning. Mm-hmm. So I know something's going on. Something precipitated those needing to come in to try to close down the aperture, because mm-hmm. that's what always does is kind of put Rebecca on trial,
That's what, so the aperture opens in a familiar way that it tries to, the system comes in to close the aperture, is to the story about you're on trial. Mm-hmm. You're being accused.
Something I did really,
you
really
did something
really.
And you're meant to believe that, and where else that leads.
Yeah.
And you're noticing that.
And my next step is to check it out with guidance, because that's the luxury we have here. Mm-hmm. Because
There's nothing you need to do with it.
Yeah.
Right? I need to figure it out. I'm going to bring it to group so I can get a little bit of clarity, maybe have some reflection, and then I'm going to bring it to guidance.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like that continued practice to be looking to awareness.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Because that's what, because if I were to think it's up to me to determine, that's the mechanism.
Yeah,
that's what closes the aperture. Mm-hmm. Because then it's looking to a version of conditioning to then make a judgment call on what is probably conditioning.
So
the fox in charge of the hen house.
The fox is in charge of the hen house. When we think it's up to me, then we're looking to some conditioned reality that's gonna try to figure this out. And that's the closing of the aperture of the awareness.
So it's just really interesting to see, to have that experience of the aperture really opening, and what conditioning, how conditioning reacts to that. And then to see how the structures of practice can support the insight meeting experience.
Uh-huh.
Insight meeting experience, to see is this what seems is going on? Does this seem like, does that seem right to you? That kind of thing.
Boy, that's so fun. Just to be in that place of awareness and see how conditioning reacts. Oh, okay, so not really, maybe identified with it at times, but really watching just how it works. And then to go back to those structures, to be within the structures of practice, that where it really helps us with that insight meets experience kind of place. Mm-hmm. And does that kind of seem like that to you? Checking it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in a place of, sounds like openness, wonder.
Yeah, again, nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if there was something unskillful, I really want that information, because it's not in the kangaroo court that Rebecca's going to get crucified no matter what. It's in the realm of total care and support, and conspiring to wake up.
Yes. Yeah, that information comes into that place of total care and support and conspiring to wake up.
Thank you.
Judy.
Well, I'm looking at the process of time, just time, and the duality that I'm tortured by time and the duality that condition gets me into all the time.
Uh-huh.
So my whole career of 35 years was about planning, you know, planning for the future, planning for contingencies, blah, blah. So I don't have a lot of training in being here with just now and being satisfied with now. You know, it's always fixing the now so it can be better in the future. So the duality that I see is that it's either too structured, or if it's not structured, like holy leisure, which is why I came today, it's, oh my God, oh my God.
That sums it up, doesn't it?
Right, it does. And it's this ping, you know, I'm the ball in the ping pong.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's, you know, on work days, there's too much work. You know, I can't wait till we have unstructured time.
Very free time, yeah.
Yeah, and then on this day, it's just over the top.
Yeah, no, not like that. No, I want,
Right, I like the way, yeah.
Yeah.
And it really shows up here, but I noticed that that's a process that I've been living in. There's this whole idea of time, like I want to fix it or control it or manage it. Or,
yeah, I bet you we can all, everyone can relate to that place of time, trying to fix it and manage it and control it. Maybe to have some kind of certain outcome or something like that, you know. And so it's sort of like when there's a lot to do or a lot of work, it's like, gosh, I just wish I could, you know, have a little bit of, I wish I could have some space. But as soon as we have that space, then there's something about that's not okay. And we find ourselves an image of we are the ping pong ball and we're being hit back and forth in that duality. And as you were saying, we never just get a chance to just be here, to be present.
Yeah, and to rest. That was my call on Wednesday.
To
just
rest.
Rest in every step.
Yeah.
To rest.
Yeah.
And it's also bigger, you know, as I get older, there's not much time. So there's kind of a, there's a story about that too.
Uh-huh. Which is another hemming in.
Yes, yes. And so if I, it's the duality again, it's showing up again. If I don't have much time in my life, so I better do something. But then this is the time I'm retired. I don't have to do anything.
Uh-huh.
You know,
like that. Yeah, yeah. That place of the, you know, we all would like just to rest.
Yeah.
And then it gets put into a system, it sounds like, where there's conditions. Then you'll be able to rest.
Yes, that's it. That's it. It's conditional rest.
It's right? Conditional rest, it's which is not rest.
Uh-huh.
And as you're pointing out, it just goes from condition to condition. And then as soon as you even get to that condition, well, here, I got all afternoon. No, not that condition.
Right.
A different one.
Right, exactly.
And so we're just... We don't ever get to just... Because, of course, ego doesn't want to do that.
Right.
It's not going to live in that place.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to keep us moving from condition to condition, planning ahead. Then, you know, that sales job that it does.
Yeah. And that was so reinforced in my career.
So reinforced in your career.
Yeah.
It's reinforced all around us.
Right.
Yeah. Buy this, get to save this amount of money, find this person, then you'll...
Mm-hmm.
And what we don't get to see is it's right here.
Uh-huh.
And we can rest in the middle of all that work
to
do.
Right.
Just sit that body in that chair and feel the feet on the ground, the bottom, and then see.
Yeah. It's that resting in every step. Yeah.
Resting in every step, you said that. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wherever we're going, each step we could rest in every step. Yes, you know that experience.
Yeah, that was my koan when I was here a couple of years ago, and it's interesting that's, you know, I was ready to, you know, usually, I don't want holy leisure day, I'll maybe come on Sunday afternoon, and then I'll, you know, but I'm going to do this and see.
Yeah, you want to do this and see, you want to be able to rest.
Yeah.
Or practice it, because it sounds like, again, that you know that place.
Yes, it's a very charged area, has been.
Yeah.
I put that to rest.
Yeah. Put that to rest.
Right. Put that all through.
Gosh, what a gift, right? And to put yourself in a situation like holy leisure coming up here in just a little bit to practice that.
Uh-huh.
And there's even, no, you should plan it so you don't have to. Yeah. So I don't have to be revealed and you will be more free from this because that's been the process so far, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, this is what I want to do and I'm going to ask to do that and I'm going to show up.
Uh-huh.
Because you want to. More to see, huh?
No, that's it. That's plenty.
That's training.
So, the evolution of the koan. So the koan was, how divine is this?
So if folks don't know, we just had your practice retreat where everyone got to practice with a focus, and the focus was their koan. And then one of the themes is the koans evolve.
So I was just looking at that because yesterday I was completely lit up, just filled with sunshine. And today the reflection in the body is very much the same as what's outside, right?
It's gray, it's a little grayer today.
It's grayer, there's not that much energy, they're struggling with physical issues, and an emotional heaviness. And I've got this practice of charting moods, just to see.
Yeah, just to see. And that's nice, given some
Sunny days, many cloudy days. How many times did I feel sunshine versus clouds? Just as a record of the fluctuations of energy.
A record of the fluctuations of energy. And it sounds like a way that may provide a little bit more accuracy than, what was it like?
Yeah, the story.
The last 2 weeks? Yeah, exactly. So you'd be going to a story versus reporting every day.
So one of the pieces of guidance I received, which I found very helpful, when I commented on, I feel lit up, I don't feel lit up, I feel lit up, I don't feel lit up, or today's a hard day, or whatever, was in Zen practice, we have to face everything that we need to face. And in those places of despair and darkness, we have to train ourselves to choose life. To choose the context of the divine, regardless of the circumstance of the energy.
So regardless of the circumstance of the energy or the grayness of the and the heaviness of the emotion, the training is to choose the context.
Yes. Yeah. Can I still choose divinity no matter how I feel?
And the context is, I choose divinity.
Right. And so the thing that I was noticing is how radically different the energy can be on a day. I mean, if you just chart it, if I have charted it for 7.5 weeks.
When paying it close attention is what I hear.
Right. And one day it's wonderful. I feel unbelievable. The next day I don't. Right? And it's something about the wheel of karma, right? It's birth follows life, birth follows death, hate follows love, and it's just a cycle. So one day I'm a wonderful human, the second day I don't feel so good, and there is a cycle that is endless. The energy just keeps flipping over and over and over, and the bamboozle is that I think I have something to do with it.
Yeah, the bamboozle is that there's something wrong here. I've got to do something with this. But really seeing it's just like the karma, the wheel of karma.
Yeah, that's the constant, is that it's changing.
That's the constant, that it's changing. You know, birth follows death, and love follows hate. And
the story follows whatever, and one day I feel great, one day my body doesn't feel great, one day I have insights, the other day I don't, one day I'm completely stuck in karma, some day I'm not. So the constant is that it's changing, and the constant that it's me that is it's being subject to.
The constant that it's changing, and the other constant is that you're subject to that.
Right, or there's a story that somehow it's happening to
me. It's mine. I'm that.
Right, and that was the evolution of the koan, which is it's not how divine is this, because in asking how divine is this, I'm in a place of not feeling the divinity, and therefore searching for the question of where is the divine in this? The assumption being it's not divine, which I want as a tool of practice, because if the awareness has collapsed, I want to expand the awareness. But the belief is that there is something that is good and something that is bad, because in all of these places where the awareness has collapsed, there is an absence of divinity.
That's the assumption.
There is that question comes from the assumption that some places are good and some places are bad, or could be different, or whatever. And so the koan evolves to, this is or the divine is.
The divine is. Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And that this is my life. I mean, my life consists of moments of deep pain, huge anguish, complete grief, even though my life might be the perfect life. That's what's arising here. That's what I'm living out. That's what I'm moving through. That's what I feel. And in those places, that's as much a part of my existence or existence as all of those moments of love and happiness and lit upness and connection.
Yes. That much part of divinity.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that how I can miss all of it if there is a process of segregation.
Yes. A process of segregation meaning dividing the world up into
this bad.
Yeah.
Anger's not good. I don't want to feel like all I need is a massage.
Uh-huh.
Right? Otherwise, I'm not going to pick myself up and do what I'm supposed to do.
Uh-huh.
Right? That kind of place of that's all something that has to be avoided, overcome, transcended, and not experienced.
Yes. Boy, practice can really get fed into that, right?
Yes.
So something that needs to be fixed or transcended, but not, we missed a part of just experiencing it.
Yes. And what, therefore, that divine is the last stage that I was looking at this morning is all, is that piece of, it's all of it. It's not just the ecstasy and the sunlight and that sense of union and the world is filled with the bliss of the divine shining through it all, which is certainly my experience for large portions of my awareness.
Mm-hmm.
But the other is equally there.
Mm-hmm.
And that all is, it's all.
It's all. Yeah. There is no separation.
There is no separation. And I get to experience it because that is all of me.
Yeah. We're sentient beings, we get to experience all of it.
Yes.
It's not something that needs to, being talking earlier about, doesn't need to be pushed away or anything like that.
Yes.
You know, that deep grief and anguish is just as much a part of being alive as, you know, bliss and sunshine and joy.
Yes. And to me, that love, it brings it to love. That the unconditional love is exquisitely painful as it is blissfully wonderful, because it is both of it. I mean, that is the experience of my experience of divinity.
Yeah, it seems like that's why we have that unconditional word.
Yes, that's what I'm looking at. That is what it's pointing at. The divinity is the acceptance of all of it as it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was on a walk yesterday. I was watching this beautiful flow of water, creek. And what arose was flow, right? The flow of the water. And that is what life is. It's a flow. And in that moment, I was aware of how life flows. That's flux, right? In this moment, it's happy. The next moment, it's not. In this moment, I mean, there's moods, the moods of energy. And that in that creek, the creek brought tears to my eyes, because what arose is, in 2 months, it's going to be completely dry.
Yeah.
And so in the flow of that water, it encapsulated, this is a sunny moment of exquisite beauty that's going to be rained on tomorrow, and therefore won't exist, and 2 months from now it's going to be dry. And it wasn't that self-hating place of being removed from the present, but being in that intensely present place to know that moment contained it all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made it beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And have that experience when I'm in a low place or a non-energetic place or a blissful place. Part of the anguish is the knowing that it's moving.
Uh-huh. Part of the anguish is the knowing that it's moving.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I can't say it any other way. It's just, this is it. This is all of it. This is what it means to be alive.
This is what it means.
Is to know
that
nothing, that I can't attach to anything, and thank God for that when I'm in a low place. And oh my gosh, do I have to remember that when I'm in a high place?
Yeah, that remembering, that's the contextualizing.
Yes, that's it, the context. The context is that this is all divinity.
This is all divinity. It's all contained in that this moment. The exquisiteness of anguish and the blissful of joy, it's the same.
Yeah. It was profound. And the way it all came together was, I was looking through the monastery survey results.
The survey results about coming to the monastery.
And there are these people who love the monastery, mm-hmm. and people who absolutely don't. Mm-hmm. And it's the same experience of energy, mm-hmm. right? That place of not judging what doesn't align with me can be recontextualized as life is all of it.
Uh-huh.
Right? There are those that align and those that are not aligned, but that doesn't mean that they're not all life.
Yes.
And it's when I have an affinity towards attachment and aversion to what doesn't align, that they're suffering for me.
That's right.
But if the context is, it's all just, life has every experience.
Yes, life has every experience, and we know that.
Yes.
That it's all here, so it must all be life. And so we're in that place of having an affinity with something that lines up for me, or a meh with something that doesn't line up with me. We can just move into that place of, well, it's all life.
Yes.
And it must take all of this to be
exactly.
life.
Exactly. And it takes all of it to assist me to awaken.
And it takes all of it to assist you to awaken. Wow, that's key right there, isn't it?
Yes. And that makes the all so exquisitely personal.
Yes. Makes the all exquisitely, did you say personal?
Personal, right. Yeah. It's for me, for it's my right. awakening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? That all of this lines up.
Wow. And then we're open to everything that's here to wake, as opposed to, well, I only want these things to wake me up. I don't want that to wake me up.
Exactly. Don't want to deal with that. Yeah. And it brings that energy back to, oh, it's all life. You know, I feel alive. This is what it means to feel alive.
Yes. Yeah, there's a movement that's made.
Yeah.
Right? And it sounds like an unconditional acceptance of all.
Yeah.
Right? And then whoosh, here comes the energy.
Yeah.
And what I was hearing was the, yes, please, thank you, I love you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Thank you. Cameron?
That was fabulous. I think that's I could relate so completely with all of that I could never have articulated it. Mm-hmm. And so I'll sit in here feeling the grayness and the lack of energy and all that was described, but I didn't have it contextualized in the larger perspective.
Isn't that so great how we come together as nodes of intelligence?
Yes.
And we know that experience, and somebody articulates it in a particular way that resonates, opens something up for us.
Yes, and because there is the ability to relate to every bit of it, I'm aware that all of that was present.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But I was not able to find that until those words lit up those places in me.
Oh, that's a fun image.
Yeah.
So you know that there's this relating to every bit of it.
Yeah.
And that relating to every bit that was described signals, starts to light up. Oh, that's all present here.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I think the experience of transitioning between the gray, heavy area and the sunny, light area. My experience is when it becomes all light, it's like, this was here. Nothing else is different. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm still the age I am. I'm still having the same situations. And yet, here is this experience that's totally different than this other one I was in. And I think in somewhere in that, ego gets a hold of the fact and there's a belief running in the background that since that everything is there all the time, then if I'm not in the place that's really experiencing the biggest perspective, then I have not done whatever process would be necessary for me to, you know.
Yeah. So if there's just an awareness of, so the light comes out and it seems like everything.
Metaphorically, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like everything, yeah, well, it's metaphorically, it seems like everything has changed, yet everything we know around us is the same. I'm still the same.
Right.
And you know, there's this sort of place of like, well, that's interesting, you know.
Yeah.
And then conditioning tries to come in and close it down and say something around, well, if that's true, then you haven't done something to keep that open all the time.
Yeah, well, what I saw was when I'm in the dark, the heavy gray place, a lot of times that is the belief. I'm seeing that likely that belief is there, that knowing in places of myself that it's all life. It's not necessary to feel down about being heavy or whatever. And so then there's that belief underneath there that because I don't even do it when that's the experience, when there's a transition into the light room from the dark room, it doesn't ever feel like I did it. It just feels like I stopped doing whatever was preventing me from being aware of it. Because it's right there. It's not like you have to go around, you know, doing physical things and turning on all the light switches and stuff. It's just a transition of attention, I guess, or, you know.
Yeah, there's some kind of transition or a movement. It doesn't feel like you did
right.
It. It's just like, whoa, it's all here and it's light.
Right.
It just feels like maybe that you stopped doing something that was interfering with that.
Exactly. And yet ego can take that then and then form this belief that, well, if that's the case, then, you just need to be more in charge of your attention or whatever it would, you know.
Yeah, so if you're
it would make it about this person who did something wrong
or is
doing something wrong because she's not able to feel the larger perspective in this moment, which I wasn't before.
Gosh, so cruel, isn't
it? It is.
So we're in this place of, you know, kind of feeling lost or dark or whatever, and then it comes in and says that there's something wrong with that and it's your fault.
Yeah, and then I don't feel well in the meditation hall again. I mean, it's like, what is going on? And, you know, all of that. And then, but that was just so neat to see that with the ability to step back and look and have it expressed in the in a contextual way that everything is divine. It's like, well, yeah, of course. I just wasn't seeing that.
Having that contextualize that everything is divine really kind of dissolves that place of fault and something wrong.
Right. And when you even look at it from a logical point of view, you know, not just the spiritual, it all is necessary to make everything that is. It's all part of what is. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't have the kind of experience of a sunny day if you didn't have gray days, kind of thing.
Exactly. No?
So it all just lights up when there's that ability to step back and see from a larger perspective and not get absorbed in the one little part you happen to be focusing on right at this moment.
Yeah, it really helps you kind of get that distance to have that larger perspective.
Yeah.
But it sounds like even, you know, in being aware that there's that other movement where, you know, you're kind of putting your hands together, that smaller perspective.
Yeah.
Making those movements back and forth, it's all a part, it's all life.
And it's all part of what becomes the awareness of the bigger perspective.
It all becomes part of the awareness of the bigger perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, wow, I feel so much better.
It's a great thing to record and listen about,
Yes, exactly, and it's just a reminder of how wonderful it is to spend time in any kind of a sangha experience where, you know, I may be the one who's up today and I can articulate something that helps expand it for somebody else, and then the next time I'm laying on the floor during meditation and feeling bad, and somebody else lights up my. It's just so beautiful.
It is beautiful. Isn't
yeah, it
yeah.
really is.
Yeah, it makes again so much
brings
sense.
Tears to my eyes. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes tears to your eyes.
Yeah.
That's one of those three jewels. Mm-hmm. Of course, Sangha is really critical.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, that or it's all life. We got here.
Yeah.
You know, we're here. We put ourselves in that place.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go ahead.
That's also helpful. and I was working with the koan, every snowflake falls in its perfect place.
Uh-huh.
And I was fixated on the end of that koan, its perfect place. And so, so for the week I'd go, okay, it's all perfect, I'm in the perfect place, you know. And then yesterday I got every snowflake falls. And I hadn't seen that part. Uh-huh. It's like what I saw was that kind of letting go, and like every snowflake isn't driving to its destination. Later out, you know, going, well, I'm going to do this on Tuesday, and, you know, I'm going to get to my perfect place, this huge letting go of just falling.
Yeah, I could go there, right, when you said that, that image of every snowflake falls.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, just opened that right back up, didn't it?
Yeah.
From what ego was trying to do with that quote from our, I think, our Project Joy.
Yeah.
Of let's focus on the perfect.
Yeah.
You know, and let's take that over.
Yeah.
And then just that opening.
Yeah. And I was just looking, I've seen the snowstorm, you know, when all those flakes are just swirling and blowing and, you know, just. Moving wildly, and who knows where they're going to come to rest. And so what was just said it was just great, because it's like just to be in that place of joy with the swirling and the
yes,
the storm that's creating the movement and. You know, who knows what who knows where the perfect place is going to, you know, what is that place when I finally fall and melt and just dissolve into all that is, and to just, so there's just kind of a great relief in that wild dance.
A wild dance. That is such a great image.
Yeah.
Just that image of a snowstorm and just the wind blowing and the flakes moving all over, and who knows where they're gonna fall.
Yeah.
And there's almost, I almost project like an excitement or a mystery of it, you know.
Yeah.
And until it, you know, falls and melts into it all, who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's such a relief, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you don't have to do it perfectly.
Yeah. Which was, hearing so much in those previous conversations, and I don't know, this may not have anything to do with anything, but if you want to, if you step into the garden right now, oh my God, talk about the embodiment of wild exuberance, you know, just that exuberant dance of life, just anyway.
I like it. We got a couple dances now.
Yeah, I think that's needing to dance. Yeah,
exuberant dance.
Exuberant
of life.
Dance.
We have right here. We walk right over to the garden.
Oh my God! Yeah. There's a wild radish in there that's just like, it's just gone ballistic. And it makes me laugh every time I see it. It's like, wow.
So it's just wild and exuberant and ballistic. It doesn't seem like it's concerned about Tuesday.
Where
what they're gonna
exactly. Where its perfect place is.
Yeah.
And
it's thriving in its perfect place.
In its perfect place. And this morning too, the last thing I'll say is that, you know, I was walking along and I noticed there was this little voice going, unhappy with the karma that it got saddled with. Why me? You know, why do I have to have this? You know, sure. I'd really rather not have this karma. And then.
So anyone else?
This is really sucky. I want the karma over there with that person. Yeah.
You would want to trade.
And then it just fell in. So you know what? This is the this is the perfect experience to just love that.
Wow.
Just love that.
There's the movement, right?
That where there was just the complete movement.
Yeah. There's the resistance. I don't want this.
Yeah.
And then, oh my gosh, this is the perfect opportunity to love this.
Yeah.
That's what it's here to be done.
Yep. And I just saw this.
To be loved.
And it's just here to be loved. And it's like, thank you. Okay.
To be healed.
This is to be healed. And this is the one on my ticket. And it's good.
Wow. And I just imagine in that movement, there's the healing. Right? Because what karma mostly gets is that's what keeps it in place.
Yeah.
And then there's the...
Yeah.
I think I'm going to invite this karma in and love it. Wow.
So going back to the snowflake image, it was that shift into just being blown.
Just being blown.
Just being blown. Just being danced.
Being danced.
You know, because I could be there and just like, ugh, I don't want this.
Yes.
You know?
You could.
This is, or, okay.
Or,
yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna dance.
I could just dance with it and just say thank you. And
say thank you. And it's been talked about. And that's fun.
Yeah.
And then dance again.
Yeah.
But it's all here for us.
It's all here for us. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, good. Good day.
Very good. I think there'll be some more dancing going on for this group.
Thank you.
Anna. Anna.
My poem for last week was not listening to the voices of fear.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And the final assignment that we had was looking to see how we're going to take that forward.
Yes.
And what we're going to do after the retreat. So for me, that's when I get home. And this is something I've looked at anyway for a long time. So what I was thinking was, how can I take care of myself when I've realised I've listened to the voices and I've believed them and I'm caught in the sensations of fear. Uh-huh. So it's how can, because that will happen, and how can I take care of myself? And when I'm at home or any place where I'm not at work, my paid job, what happens is the feelings come up and I get really hot. And I don't know, I've been paying attention to how it happens and where it comes from. And this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm exploring. It is very muddling and I know that I'm not really seeing it, but it's as if the sensations or the energy and the heat come from my heart and move upwards. Mm-hmm. And if I can move physically, that dissipates it. So that's really good information to have. And what I'm looking at is when I am at work in my paid job, and that comes up, how I can't move, what can I do then? Because otherwise I just get hotter and hotter and my hands start sweating. And I just then I have to get to the place where I have to grit my teeth and just go. So it's not an ideal situation, I don't think. So I've been looking at what I can do in those situations, and I've been experimenting just with different things, really.
Can I interrupt just for a second?
Yes.
That first part's really important, right? I mean, that's awareness, practice, and action. So
even
there's this fear that's been coming up, and you just want to get more familiar with it.
Yeah.
You know, so the first step is you're not even really doing anything, you're just noticing.
Yeah.
And so you notice the sensations of fear that come up, the sensations that are then attached to this fear, and what it is, it's like comes up from that heart area, and it feels kind of hot, and you're familiar with the body temperature rising.
Yeah.
And you also notice that if you get up and move, it dissipates that.
Yeah.
So you're kind of just seeing how the what goes on in the body and how that works. Yeah. And you also notice that if it you can't move, or it feels like you're in a situation where you can't move and dissipate, that it maybe you get hotter and your hands start to, and then you notice your teeth.
Yeah.
So you're looking at, okay, well, if I can't move, then what would assist the body at that time?
Yeah. Yeah, and at the moment, I don't really know.
Isn't that fun? I don't really know, but this is what I'm seeing. Yeah. This is what I'm going to try.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've done a few, just the things that have come to me, so is, you know, breathing in cool and breathing out the heat, which is the one that is doing the most for me at the moment. But I am keen and eager to find out if there's other things. So, for example, the heart chakra green, sort of breathing in green and seeing what happens. But and then it's I don't know, breathing in from the top and breathing all that energy down out through my feet. I'm not sure.
And all of those have
there must be something.
Putting the attention on the body.
Yeah.
Right. The breath and breathing in cold, breathing out heat. Energy coming out of the feet, which is brilliant, right? Because where's the attention? You know, so if those sensations come up and we're meant to go to this to tell us what those sensations mean, then we'll be in a fear story. But if we're bringing the attention to different places in the body through the breath or however else, then that's where the attention will be.
That's
not on the fear story.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's looking at that and practicing that so that I can do it when I am in that, to the identified person, feeling scared. Mm-hmm. And I can see the struggle now in mind's eye. I'm nearly, I don't know, 95% identified and 5% not when I'm in that situation. Uh-huh. So it's uh-huh. being able to do it and not get completely sucked into identification. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So what I hear is catching those...
Doing quite a few things at the same time, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and when you're in that place of awareness, sounds like it's all possible.
Yeah.
And being aware of how that goes on in the body are your kind of signals that we're headed that direction. That seems really important.
Yeah.
And then it sounds like actually what you've been doing is seeing what drops in about what would be supportive. And it sounds like maybe practicing... I don't know if I heard that right. Maybe practicing when you're not in that place.
Absolutely.
Which is key, right? Because if all of a sudden you have to practice that in the heat of the moment, then that'll be more challenging.
Yeah.
But if we kind of done that and we know that rhythm and we know that practice,
what
is support to the person?
Yeah. So that's what I'm currently doing, and that's what I'll continue to do and see what happens.
Yeah. That's so great. Mm-hmm. We'll have to call in and let us know how it's going.
The fantastic answer.
it's a process of discovery. That's what I'm hearing anyway.
Yeah. Because I don't know what it is, and I've not come across it yet. I've not read it anywhere or that works, that does it for me at this moment. So.
Yeah. Very exciting. Thank you.
I've been practicing with unconditional acceptance. And sometimes I forget about the acceptance part of things. Well, because, you know, there's a conversation in the head that's constantly resisting everything. Uh-huh. And so it's like that bringing conscious attention to acceptance of whatever it is. And I was just hearing in group this morning that how powerful it is that we're practicing, you know, the quality of our lives is determined by the focus of our attention and nothing else.
And nothing
else. No fluctuation in energy, physical thing, content, anything, but the focus of our attention, that we don't have control over what arises, and so how are we with whatever arises? Mm-hmm. And
we don't have any control over what arises, mm-hmm. the contents in our life, but we do have some mechanism of directing the intention.
Yes. And so just to be practicing that unconditional acceptance of whatever's here. I got some guidance recently that was, well, through the form of a story which I've heard the guy tell before in group, which is, you know, the neuro-linguistic programmer who says, I center by putting my hands in my pockets. But what if you don't have pockets? What if you don't have hands? Right? In other words, if we're dependent on something to feel a certain way, to feel okay, then we're completely sunk.
and completely controlled.
Boy, we can probably all relate to that. Like, I can just do this, or I can have that thing, or I can have that murmur, and then I'll be okay.
Yes.
When we're in that place, we're completely controlled.
Yes. And so to be experiencing all of these things physically, that, you know, there's like there is that sense of a challenge where it does feel more difficult to drop the conversation when, like, what's going on in the mind, you know, mind and body being one, is kind of paranoia and feeling hated and all of those things, and despairing thoughts. It does feel more challenging to drop the conversation and be in that unconditional well-being. And so for a while there was a kind of this fierce resistance of no, like somehow, well, like a no, I want to feel better and then I'll start dropping the conversation again.
When it's easier again.
And then there was just this like shift and transformation of, okay, so maybe it is so that it's more challenging to drop the conversation and be here when all of this is going on. But I'm just going to have to get really good at it then, aren't I?
Wow. That's a different perspective.
Yeah.
So here's all this, you know, kind of intense hatred and paranoia, and in those places, we know the answer to drop the conversation.
Yes.
At that point, it just feels like no way. I mean, I project because we're in a pretty intense survival kind of situation.
Yes, exactly.
So it feels like, well, then, oh, well, I'm going to die, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, but to, well, okay, well, it takes kind of a leap, you know, to do that, to drop it, to be in that place of well-being.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm just going to have to get really good at dropping it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like I'm like kind of plain sailing in that place all the time, but that's what I'm coming back to.
Mm-hmm.
That's the new, you know, this is what I am, this is what I'm choosing. I'm just going to have to get really good at it. You know, it's like that unconditional acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is what I'm doing, this is what I'm choosing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun because if we keep that here, we can do that all the time, you know, as we were just talking about. In practicing an unconditional acceptance,
mm-hmm.
in everything, in every moment, so that there is that support when it's really intense.
Yes.
You know, because at least, I mean, I don't know, it's kind of my experience. Sometimes, well, I'm fine. I don't really need to practice that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with how everything's going.
Yeah.
You know, so that skill, that muscle doesn't get strengthened. Then all of a sudden, I'm in an intense thing, and I'm like, well, how come this isn't working?
Yes, exactly.
You know? Yeah.
And it's like the feeling, the great love in that process of life kind of, it's like not being allowed to be left in that kind of trouble where you are controlled by being dependent on things feeling a certain way or being a certain way to be okay. That place of everything's a gift.
Yes.
You know, everything's for me.
Yeah.
Everything is life's love, every last bit of it.
Yeah.
So there's all this and paranoia and that is life's love. It's not separate from it. It's like... just assisting me to be okay no matter what, to get to that place of whatever happens, I know I'm going to be okay.
And it seems like then, you know, we're kind of given the size 2x4 that we need.
Yes.
So
you're
I mean, I think we can all relate to that. If everything is just sort of fine, then we'll just tend to go along in unconsciousness. And so those places of really intense kind of things actually are a gift, because that, you know, life in us comes up to meet that challenge, is
exactly
what I'm hearing you talk about.
Exactly. And it's out of that conditioned place of punishment, reward, or like, you know, ego experiencing it as punishment or harsh or whatever, and instead being in that place of what greater love could there be
than that's
being taken through that process. It's the way of transformation, right?
It's the way of transformation.
Yeah, not seeking the old friend who's going to help the old self survive, but instead seeking out somebody who's going to help you risk yourself. And
making that movement out of what could easily be a victim place to a place of, wow, I'm incredibly loved here.
Yeah.
Because this is what's required for me to wake up, and that's what I'm doing.
Exactly.
That's what I'm committed to.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yep.
Thanks. And we have 2 minutes.
That's all I need.
Go for it.
I've been loving the conversations because it speaks to everything I've been feeling this week. And
isn't that so fun about the group? Yeah.
And I started off the week with the koan plus life. And I've had situations in the week trust this. Okay, well, that's what I've committed to, so I'm going to do it. And what it's morphed into is deepening faith.
A deepening faith.
Yes.
The practice of comes in. Okay, I got to trust this. Well, that's what I'm committed to. So I'm going to. And that process has led to a deepening faith.
And the gratitude for that. And alongside that, seeing the importance of compassion, that even though you're trusting life and it might not be how you think it might look, but that it's okay to feel how you feel and have compassion.
Uh-huh.
And I guess that's what the group has been speaking about this morning, is that undulating emotional roller coaster.
Yeah. So there's that commitment to life, which is that steady, and it's, I just projected that part of that gratitude is for, yeah. And then there's also an experience of, well, that's not kind of how I thought it was going to go, or there's that up and down experience of being a human being, and just sounds like compassion arising for that person who's going through that, having those experiences.
Yeah. And I've been really looking at is it called the morning recitation?
That's our.
The recitation we say in the morning.
Either the daily recollection, like we did this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. That's really helped because there's lots of reminders in there. It's like the story. Path. And when I've really looked at the daily recollection this week, it's been really powerful. And,
yeah.
And everything's there. And
everything's there.
Yeah.
All the teachings are right there.
Yeah. And it's like I've really looked through the words and looked through them and used that as a constant path this week.
Wow. So using the daily recollection that we read every morning in the monastery, and really just sounds like bringing attention and presence to the words and really seeing, wow, everything's here. And practicing with that over the last week.
Yeah, because I don't know it off my heart. So I've been looking at parts of it and really, really looking at it and slowly. And that's okay. You know, that's what the daily recollection is here for, and just to be at that and have fun with it.
It's almost an assistance that you don't know it. In the sense that you really have to, what am I saying? And really look and pay attention. Yeah, and that place of compassion, well, it's okay you don't know it. There's a copy right there, just bring it with you.
Yeah.
And go